Week. Although I think this one will be short. It's always nice to make
you short. You always say that. You know what's going to be short? Your interview is going to be short. 5 minutes. Just long enough for me to ask you questions.
All right. Let's see. Welcome to Westlo, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Barco with Andy Lipson. Today, we will discuss the topic of a Washington high school. The high school is called Washington. George Washington, here in San Francisco, a mural that has caused a lot of controversy. It is a mural that has been voted recently, I think last week, I think it was, by
June
the
8th, yeah.
Board of Education. The 8th?
Then July it was, 8th.
Then it was July. This Monday.
Yeah, or, I think it was July, yeah.
Then, for some reason, I thought it was the 4th. Like, sorry, no one goes into work on the 4th.
Right.
This has to be edited out. We'll see.
It's fine.
The point is that recently the Board of Education of San Francisco has voted 6-0 to destroy parts or the entire.
I think the vote was to either cover it with a curtain,
yeah,
paint over it.
Mm-hmm. That's destroying.
Right? Or put a paneling over it.
Uh-huh.
Basically, the vote was to cover it, yep, in one way, shape, or form to make it have the students don't have to see it any longer.
Mm-hmm. So this is, again, the George Washington mural. And this calls into question not just this mural, but other things as well as other artistic expressions, whether they be offensive or not, and also calls into question censorship and propaganda and all these other terms, other ideas that we will discuss today. I'm not sure if there's something else I'm missing about it. I didn't see it recently, but I did see it many years ago when.
Well, this is not the first time that this has come up, mm-hmm, George Washington. Mm-hmm. This was also a controversy in the late '60s, early '70s, mm-hmm, where student members of George Washington High School, who were Black Panther Party members, mm-hmm, wanted this thing gone as well. They found the depictions. First of all, the painting is called The Life of George Washington.
Yes, right? Thank you.
So maybe we should put a few facts out about
yes,
this.
Yes, please. Sorry about that. Yeah.
The painting is called The Life of George Washington. It was painted by Victor Arnatov, a person who was a lefty. He was a member of the Communist Party. Mm-hmm. Ironically, and he's from Russia.
Born in Russia.
Mm-hmm. Russia. He had a bit of a political journey, though. He started as an officer in the white armies. Does that mean anything to you?
Oh,
basically,
I did not know that.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Back in the day, which would really be back in the day, during the Russian Revolution, right after the Russian Revolution, he fought on the side of those people opposed to the Russian Revolution, helping the Tsar Nicholas get their stuff back, essentially. Uh-huh. But he made a bit of a political journey since then, and was a protege of Diego Rivera.
Yes.
Worked with Diego Rivera, I believe, probably Frida Kahlo, in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Where he learned the mural
and
making
the
and stuff
fresco,
like that.
The technique. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and became a left winger through the course of the 30s. Probably was radicalized by all the depression and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm not entirely sure why he made that journey from the right to the left, but that's what happened. He's done other paintings. He did part of the Coit Tower painting, mm-hmm, called City Lights, which we might end up talking about. The intention of this painting when he painted it was it was painted under the works, what is the WPA?
Public Works under the Green, under, not Green New Deal.
Green New Deal.
It's not the New Deal. But it's the New Deal of FDR.
The Works Progress Administration, which was a...
All right, and I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah, there was another... There was another program for artists and things, mm-hmm, like this.
Under Public Works, I think it was, Andy.
Public Works of Art Project. No, that's a different one.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. So, and there was other artists who did stuff under that. So this one was under the WPA, which was the Franklin Delano Roosevelt program during the Depression to try to get people working again. produced millions of jobs. A subsection of those jobs being produced were for artists, and artists were commissioned to do all sorts of art across the country. And a lot of them were left wingers, and so there was art done at the time, and Victor Arnotoff was one of those people who produced art in San Francisco and other parts of the country as well. But he was more known. He lived in San Francisco, so he produced stuff here, and he had drawn stuff around the Spanish Revolution, about the Spanish Revolution, about the San Francisco general strike. This piece was depicting the life of George Washington. Now, a lot of people would say maybe it should have shown, you know, like, it, and he was attempting to make it something that was critical. That is, wasn't showing George Washington chopping the cherry tree or bravely going to Valley Forge. It was showing him, you know, pointing west, for settlers to point west, and kind of implying that he is responsible for the decimation of Native Americans and the indigenous people there, or he's one of those people responsible. And it also showed him in an area where slaves were doing work. Black people were slaves at the time, and it was showing him as having a hand in that. So in the 30s, this might have been seen as controversial. And so he was attempting to raise a critique while depicting the life of George Washington.
There were subversive underlying messages within his artwork.
That was the intent, at least. Ironically, from what I understand, there wasn't much of a response, actually, at the time. He got a major response from his work that he did on Coit Tower, where he showed, he shows working people around the time of the San Francisco general strike, and he showed that he had this one thing that had all these newspapers on it, but it didn't show like the mainstream newspapers. It was all red newspapers, like revolutionary newspapers that were on there, and he showed like a British person getting arrested, robbed, you know, at gunpoint, you know. So that one actually, it's called City Lights, was actually much more controversial than the one he did at George Washington.
Someone said, I was reading that, they were upset because he didn't include the SF Chronicle on there.
Yeah.
And so they felt as if it was just very left-leaning and anti-communist, delayed the project or the mural to be just opened up,
The Coit Tower one actually did get a response. Apparently, at the time, for all his intents of showing, you know, this critique of George Washington, it didn't really land.
And it's difficult. This is going to be something that's going to cost around $600,000 just to remove it, have an environmental impact analysis over it. And it will be very difficult to remove because it's a fresco, and a fresco means it is done directly onto the wall. It's not just a panel you can remove like they did for the Diego Rivera panel murals that are at City College. These are directly on the wall. So $600,000 is a lot of money, I think. Well, for me, I'm poor. But to remove.
Yeah.
But the point, I think, is that for when I mention this, is that it's caused a fiasco to the point where you have people divided in a community, and there's going to be financial cost, there's going to be a cost on the community as well. People are really upset. I was watching some of the people who went to the board meetings, and people were really upset, really, really upset, you know, on both aisles.
Right.
Did you want to say something?
I mean, maybe we should get to what our thoughts are on this. I don't know if there's more background to...
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I'll say more than that. Just, so I would say there are three versions of what I've heard. There's the right wing, which is like, oh, you snowflakes! You're so upset about this. They're accusing the people who want to take this down as like just trying to ignore history. Yes, they're accusing them of censorship. They're talking about the people. They accuse the people who want to take this, who want to remove this or cover it over. They're accusing them of just basically, you know, like just being. Almost weak, making fun of them. That's why I use a snowflake term. And like, where will it stop? They go, where will it stop? Where will you, you
draw
know,
the line.
Where are you going to draw the line? All right. And I think I've heard from the left, you know, that is not, I don't think that is the critique. I think people on the left is like, wait a second, that was not the intent of this artist. The artist was a left winger. This is an attempting to, you know, you don't understand. Maybe you need to learn some things about art history. You know, art is multi-layered. And there is a concern about censorship, right? A concern about history and things like that. And the thing, I personally, this was actually brought to my attention by a woman who I think I actually saw in a video. She was, I think her name is Marie. If I get that wrong, then I'm going to change this, but I think her name is Marie. I don't know what her last name is. But she asked me what I thought about this. And I didn't know anything about it at first. And I looked at it and I was like, I was on the fence, to be honest. And as I talked more to you, I became more and more a person who was like, I don't think this is right. I don't think this should be taken down. I don't, you know, removed, But as I have looked more into this, as I have listened more, and as I've thought more about this, I'm with the people who want this removed. And
what is the third response? You said three responses.
Oh yeah. Well, the third response are the people, and this is the third. The third response is, look, I have to walk into this damn school every day, and I got to see the dead Native American. You know, like, and in fact, one of the guys, one of the art historians, who was actually critical, he wants this thing to be saved. He actually acknowledged that students used to say in George Washington, "Meet me where the dead Native, dead Indian is. Meet me at the dead Indian." Right, which is one of the pictures right under there is like people walking over. Now I get it. Viktor Anatov showed the people walking over the dead Native American, and they're grayed out and things like that. But honestly, like, here's what I think about. This is people's school, and I'll use this analogy. I live with Brandy, and
who's Brandy?
Oh, my partner. You know, and you know. If there was a piece of art that I really liked, but that was offensive to her, would I say, well, you gotta come into our house and you gotta see it all the time? In fact, there is an artwork like that where there's a Diego Rivera that I really, really like. And actually, there was, it's the Diego Rivera called Man at the Crossroads of Time, one that Diego Rivera put on the Rockefeller Center. And Rockefeller Center, when he saw Lenin on that, when he saw Marx on that, he said, I'll tear that shit down. And he did. Okay, he destroyed it, and Diego Rivera had to do it in Mexico. I love that painting. In fact, it's one of my favorite paintings, okay? I showed that to Brandy, and she was like, okay, I get it. She's fine with Marx and Lenin, but she just thinks it's kind of like very serious and almost kind of grim, like depressing. She goes, do I want to walk into a house? I wanted to put that whole damn mural right up here. She goes, do I want to walk into a house, like looks this way all the time? And I'm like, well, I want to do it. Like, I wanted to do it. But this is her house too, you know? And so we ended up, fortunately, I got it in my own room, and I can put it in my own room. I was able to create that. And I just think we talked about identity politics last time, about experience, right? I don't think you can use experience as a basis for figuring out solidarity. But when it comes to art, art and experience are linked. Art, if you look at that piece of artwork and it's not speaking to you, and if it's hurt, if it's upsetting you, then that's not really art that's working for you. And why do students who are Native American or African American or possibly even white have to go into a school? This is artwork in the lobby. This isn't somewhere in the gym or something like this. This is artwork in the lobby. If they feel like, damn, why am I having to see every day dead Native American, every day enslaved blacks? Why do I have to walk into my school and see that every day?
Like their house.
Yeah, that's my house. I mean, I get it. Like, I get it. It's happened. I'm going to go to history class. I'm going to learn about it. I'm going to, in fact, as Michelle Alexander, who talks about the new Jim Crow, is talking about, much not a lot has changed since that time for blacks, and for certainly we talked about what the situation with Native Americans is today. It ain't good. So it's not like they're unaware of that. If anybody's unaware of it, it's us. And frankly, Arnatov didn't make a big, like, I think Arnatov was trying to be sneaky, and it didn't really work anyway. And now what does he see? And now he finds that the people who are actually getting upset about this are the people he's trying to, that he was trying to uplift and represent. Frankly, I think if Arnatov was looking at this, he'd be like, all right, take it down. This is not my intention. I did not have the intention of making it so African Americans and Native Americans were upset. And in fact, it's a bunch of white people, it's not just white people, but a bunch of white people who, particularly from the right, who really are upset that you're going after George Washington. That's what they're upset about. They don't like seeing George Washington being gone after. Which I don't care about George Washington. Change the name of the school. Get rid of George Washington. We got to see him on the dollar bill at the time anyway. So I have moved towards saying that, look, this is something where if we're in solid, I'm not in solidarity with Rockefeller when he goes after Diego Rivera's art. Mm-hmm. But I am in solidarity with these students. They're fellow, ultimately they will be fellow workers, who if they say that this is just like upsetting them, then remove it. And in fact, what I would say, how much does art go for all the time? Like millions of dollars.
Right.
Here's what I think they should do. I think they should take that thing, hold the gun up to George Washington's head and be like, look, there's this piece of art here. And you capitalists, if you love this piece of art, this is going to go in about a year. If you want it, pay for it. Mm-hmm. Take it. Remove it. It's going to cost you a few million to do, mm-hmm. but do it. Mm-hmm. You know, they pay millions of dollars for that crap anyway. Mm-hmm. So they can do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And so I say, you know, take the darn thing hostage. Tell the capitalists if they want it. They got a year to pay for it. And if you don't have it in a year, we're painting that thing over. We're going to put up our mural. Mm. If they want that. And let's be clear. They're not saying erasure here. They're not saying, oh, get – they're saying – at the very least, they're saying keep a video record of it, da-da-da-da. But we want to put up something that's for us. Now, that came up in the 1970s. And Dewey Crumpler was the guy
– Who is Dewey Crumpler?
Dewey Crumpler was the artist who went – he's an African-American artist who painted something that was much better depiction, a much more uplifting depiction – as a counterweight to that.
A response mural.
Yeah, and in fact said, the only conditions I'm going to do this for are that our Arnotoff's paintings have to stay. Mm-hmm. He said that. In fact, he opposes just mm-hmm. taking this thing down, removing it. Nevertheless, I'm with the students. I'm with the people. I'm with the people who are saying, you know what? I don't want to see this anymore. Not in my school. So take it away. For the same reasons that if someone comes into their house and has to see this every day, they don't want to see it. Do you have to see that artwork all the time?
Well, I suppose, I mean, my counter-argument to that is that this is not necessary. You live in a house, right? Like, these are students that are there for 4 years and sometimes less. And they carry on, they move on. You know, there's a continuous refreshing of students that are in there. So is it right for one group of students to say that this is what I don't want when they're speaking on behalf of newer students that are coming in?
I would say, in particular, when they're students who are from specially oppressed groups, when they're yes, I would say that they have an additional voice. It's like super seniority, like we talked last time. I agree with that. I think their voice matters more than, particularly if they're the oppressed group who this is supposed to support. If they look at it and be like, "This doesn't help me at all. Sorry, this sucks," mm-hmm. then they're the people who should actually they have the strongest voice around that because this art was supposedly meant to raise their voices in comparison to the people who have been the oppressors. So, frankly, if they do say that, and why would they have to go through 4 years of like not feeling very good? Like, I mean, I understand that they're going to get out of the lobby and they're going to go to their class, but then they got to go back into the lobby. So why? Well, like, if it sucks for them to see it, move it, get rid of it, put it somewhere else. And the capitalists have all sorts of ways. They got tons of money. Like I said, they pay millions.
$600,000 is nothing.
It's nothing.
Yes.
Compared to like you go to one of these auctions,
right.
You know.
Well, but I was referring to the burden of this cost was coming onto the school district.
Well,
I say you
capitalists want it, come and get it.
Right.
Like the former school I went to was called Washington University. Who do you think it's named after? George Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's you know how many millions of dollars they have in there, whatever, what's that called?
Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Millions and millions of dollars. Tell them, hey, come and get it. Otherwise, Washington's going to be erased. So, that's my feeling now.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, the third response to that you were saying, because there are three responses to this.
Yeah,
and the third response to this is what you just said is largely that people of color have been feeling very insulted and feeling to have those images be seen every day when they go into school. I'm as I told you on the phone,
yeah,
I have certain feelings about this because one of the propositions that I did see was to paint over it.
It is, yeah, it's one of the ideas.
Yeah, I don't think it should be painted over. I think if the community decides together collectively that they want something to be removed, then it should something to be that they don't want to see. Maybe not removed or whatever, paint over it, destroyed, whatever. I think that it shouldn't be destroyed. I think that it should be removed. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
If collectively people decide, I think that this is when democracy works. If students should have a vote, the community should have a vote, and if their vote is the majority and they decide, whatever. But I don't think it should be destroyed. I don't think that there is no solution when it comes to things that are offensive. Even if we're going to bring up Confederacy statues, I don't think that they should be destroyed. I think that everything should be moved someplace where it's, and I said this to you on the phone,
yeah.
Even those things should be moved to a certain site or somewhere where people can learn about the history of art. I think that art is political, and people like to say that art is not. So when mm-hmm. when Dewey Crumpler
yeah.
was commissioned, they did not want his art piece to be political.
Mm-hmm.
And we should, by the way, expand a little bit on his artwork. His response was, as you said, the mural response to the Washington mural. And his piece is right there, and it's a connection to, as Dewey Crumpler was saying, and we can link a YouTube video to this. And I was reading an interview online.
Yeah, this would be the one episode, because I'm going to put artwork up here, because mm-hmm. this would be the one episode where you might want to, if at the very least, you got to go and check these images out.
For our
out.
Listeners, you should see the visuals.
Yeah, and we will put links on. I will put links on to where the best places are for some of these images of the Dewey Crumpler work mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. life of George Washington, mm-hmm. at the very least.
Well, Dewey Crumpler advocates for the piece to stay because his, as you said, is the connection to this other piece. It's not separate. They are together as one, and that was his condition, as you had said. And I should mention that his piece has Asian Americans, African American figures, and Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez, and chains. It's a very beautiful piece where mm-hmm. the chains are being broken apart, and it was in response to this empowerment response. Mm-hmm. And that was what settled then what was 50 years ago.
It was in the 60s.
Yeah. So the point being is that just because we, and this is not to in response to you just in general, because I think that people have been saying, when I've been listening to both sides on the aisle, where people say that people of color are opposed to it. Not all people of color are opposed
right,
to it.
Right, that's not true.
Right, because Dewey Crumpler is African American himself, and he says he advocates for it to stay. And there is a petition online as well, 400 plus educators, artists, academics, historians to keep it, as well as some of the most prominent figures like Judith Butler, which people largely praise for on the feminist side. I'm mentioning her because I think people would think, oh, you know, this is a largely white people would want to keep it and are targeting us as people of color. No, I don't think people of color act as monoliths, and we already stated that in the identity politics video, and I'm glad we already did that so we can refer to this.
And I suspect in this case, you lean towards keeping it.
You mentioned three responses.
Yeah.
I think I'm on the second. Not the right wing, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
But not, I don't, I'm a person of color. I feel like I have to, all right, hey, over here. God. Feels weird. My God.
That's for our listeners who are not watching. Eduardo is a person of color.
I think they can hear my voice and they will know.
Yeah.
But, well, because it, like we've already talked about, and I'm so glad we already did it. We can now refer and use it as a reference, yeah. That video that we already did. Not all people of color think alike. We're not just one group think. Mm-hmm. We have different opinions. We're individuals. It just bothers me how people categorize. You know, people think, oh, you must have this position because you are this and that. That's your identity. Anyhow, we've already done the video. Please look at it. So I personally, I have seen offensive art. I have gone to Germany and I went to some museums where they have... they had Nazi propaganda, and mm-hmm. I saw it, and I wanted to learn that. I wanted to see that. I didn't want to not see it. I wanted to see it because I wanted to see how times were, what people faced, how things... You know, I think that history is can be portrayed through art, and I don't think that things should be censored. I don't think that people should sanitize history. And I think that this response from Victor Art Not Tough sorry, Arnatov.
Yeah.
You know, at the time when lots of the history books were what? Were sanitizing the history of George Washington.
People did not know that George Washington was a slave owner.
Exactly. Did they put that on the history books of that time? I'm sure not.
No.
And his depiction of George Washington included this and was offensive to people.
Suggest it wasn't offensive, though. That's the thing, though.
I was reading that there was some people who thought, what is... Yeah, the it wasn't a very strong response.
No, I mean...
But he posted. Look at me using this media culture words. Posted.
He tweeted?
He tweeted. He posted. God, it's already influencing, you see? There's a good... I'm going off tangent, but there's a very good interview on KPFA on language and capitalism and how they're, anyways, listen to it on Against the Grain. And so he painted this, and you're right, it didn't receive such a strong response, but this is something that was there when you had history books in the very same school that sanitized George Washington's history. I understand it's not a very strong response. Yes, I get that already. The point being is that I don't think things should be censored. I don't think things should be destroyed. And I'm not saying that people don't have a right in a community to say what they want in their house or not, or the community of sacred place where they learn and stuff. All I'm saying is don't destroy it. It's a fresco. It's hard to take out. Yes, people should pay for it. It shouldn't fall, when I was saying the $600,000, it should not fall on the district. It should fall on people who have money.
Mm-hmm. And if they want it.
Yes.
Do you want that thing in your house?
I don't want to discredit all the 400-plus artists, educators, historians that are out there as well speaking out against this. That I should mention that it's not just people in the community as well as people that are prominent figures on the left-wing ideology spectrum.
Right. Well, first off, you got the right to choose to go to a museum. To emotionally prepare to see things.
Yes.
You don't have to go every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm just saying.
What did I say? That's why I said do not remove things.
Well,
excuse me, do not destroy it. I'm sorry.
Well, I think
you can remove it. Find a way to remove it. So if you have to take out the whole entire wall from it,
yes.
Destroy the school to take out. No. I'm kidding. That was a joke.
Terrorist.
Sorry. People are going to... tattoo.
If told, well, you know what, we can't afford it, then I actually think that they have the right to say, well, you can't afford it, you can't find a buyer to take this, then I'm sorry, we're going to paint over it. Because I do understand how people who might find that this is demoralizing, this sucks to look at every day, because it's not a museum. It's a school.
I do agree.
So, hold on.
I'm emotionally prepared to go and walk into a
museum. And that I would say, okay, are you ready for such a thing? When I go into my friend Brian's house, he's always listening to NPR. That shit drives me nuts. I tell turn that shit off. I cannot stand listening to those condescending motherfuckers.
Yeah.
All right? They're so patronizing. Their voice drips with arrogance. I can't stand listening to it. Turn it off. I don't want to go into that environment. I need to emotionally prepare myself for such an environment. And so, no, I'm serious. Those people don't come in. They didn't come in and kill my ancestors. But I can really understand how, if I have to go to this is my school. We call these second homes for many of our students. And we want them to feel like second homes for many of our students. So in your home, you got to see this? No. So remove it. And if you're not willing to, we're saying to the capitalists, if you're not willing to pay for removing your precious George Washington with your little lesson here that Arnatov was trying to hide in it, that unfortunately didn't trigger a single capitalist. It seems to have triggered only Native Americans and African Americans. I don't think Victor Arnatov would have wanted that. I'm a communist. He's a communist. I don't think he would have wanted that, honestly. But he's not around to speak to it. The fact is that now people have to walk in there and see that. And it's a minority that I do believe it's a minority who's experienced.
And what about to the response mural?
No, that's great, but it doesn't change. That response mural is excellent, but that does not change that people have to see that every day walking through the lobby. It's like, do I have to hide my eyes? No, that's not right. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really address it. I get how Dewey Crumpler is an art historian, and here's the thing: I don't like the critique people are making of the snowflake thing is bullshit. You know, that the right wing is saying. Mm-hmm. But the thing that people are also saying is, what about, are people don't want to expose themselves to history? Are they trying to ignore the history? That's not where I hear these people coming from. They are completely aware of the history. In fact, they're aware, many of them, when I heard the debates going on, about Viktor Anatov. And they say, we understand his intent. We know his intent. But that's not the impact it's having. And that matters.
It has to be an education in art.
No, it doesn't have to be. Then do that. That's in a museum. You know, I don't have to... Look,
but the history, I think.
I'll give you another example. Yeah. When I first got together with Brandy, there was this Pina Bausch ballet called The Rite of Spring that I know is a work of art. Mm. And no one disputes that Viktor Anatov is a work. And I said, Brandy, you should come and see this. Mm. And she saw it, and she goes, oh, my God, I don't want to see this ever again. All right? Because it's very depressing. It's kind of violent. Mm. I understand how it's actually upsetting for her to watch it. For me, I'm thrilled by it. Okay? For her, it's upsetting. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Pina Bausch is not going to say, oh, you have to see this every day coming into the place. You have to see this ballet of violence and fear that's going to kick up for you. No, that's not what people have to experience. I don't have that effect. It doesn't have that effect. But for Brandy, it did. And that's meaningful. As it relates to art, experience is everything. And it is political in this regard. And the Confederacy, those statues. Bringing down the Confederate statues, I'm not going to say it's a different thing. Those statues were not built just after the Civil War. Right. You know when those statues were built. Those statues were built during the rise of the KKK to celebrate racism, to celebrate the South will rise again.
Yep.
That shit's got to come down. And those weren't put up. I mean, they are art. They are art to symbolize the pride of people who enslaved others. I'm sorry. That's got to come down. And, yeah, I mean, you can call it memorials or whatever. Those things have got to go. That's not what these people are. They're not saying we want to erase this. They're saying get it out of our sight. We're willing to keep a video thing of it. And they're giving – I don't know if they're saying time. If it was me, but – I would say you got a year. You've got a year to come up with the money for this. I'm not worried about, like, me as a student, me as a George Washington high school student, I don't care where that money comes from. If it comes from the district, it comes from the district. If it comes from, but if you got some rich MF out there who wants to pay for this and have that thing hanging out in their house, do it. If you don't, it's getting painted over. And I will tell you the other reason they don't want to do this, because here's the other thing they're saying. Well, if we do this, what are they going to ask for next? Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's a good question. What are people of color going to ask for next? Good. I want to know what they're going to ask for next. Maybe that'll be something that we'll have to answer for as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a question that I want to live. I want that to be a live question of like, okay, this, you get this, and what are you going to ask for next? I understand why people who run the system don't want people who've been oppressed to not ask the question of what are they, or to not get the right to come forward with what are you going to ask for next. They don't want people thinking that they get the right to determine their own environment. Mm-hmm. You know? So I'm with them. I'm not going to say I look at that painting and feel the way they feel, but I do believe that I'm in solidarity with those folks, and I want them on my side. I'm with them. I say, take George Washington and his life of George Washington, either pay to have it removed, or the thing's going to get painted over. Mm-hmm. You know, because we want this school to be a place that all of us are welcome in. Maybe white people aren't triggered by it. Maybe Latino people aren't triggered by it. Maybe not even all Native Americans or African American peoples are triggered by it. I'm sure that's the case. Obviously, Dewey Crumpler is African American.
Right.
But if there are some, I don't want them to have that experience in my school. Mm-hmm. I'm with them. I'm like, no, I don't want you to have that experience. So, bye. Bye, painting. And who decided that art was a permanent fixture anyway? Have people like, there's nothing in the world that's permanent.
You think it's ephemeral?
I think it is ephemeral. I think the Tibetans are completely right. You know, the Tibetans do the sand.
You're right, yeah.
They're completely right. Not just about, it's not just a belief. That there's no art that's permanent. Mm-hmm. That's a fantasy of arrogance of capitalism, frankly. You know, I don't know if that is capitalism, but I'm just saying it seems like it. I'm going to put that on capitalism too, without really knowing. so that one, but it has a kind of arrogance to it. Mm. Art is not permanent. There's nothing about the life that's permanent. So everything must go sometimes. And I don't.
When the times are changing.
Yeah, the times are changing, and these people aren't saying erase. They're willing to take a video project of it, do keep it up, whatever you want, put it in your own museum. Da da da. Da. We want something that represents what will be good for all our students here. I think that's completely fair. Mm-hmm.
I just want to be clear, yeah. And just to be.
He's got a colonized mindset. That's his problem. Okay, I wanted to say something. Sorry.
Just be clear that if I'm interrupted, we have to make sure how many minutes are we at.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I thought it was going to be a short video today.
Of course, you always think it's going to be short.
No, because I didn't think it was such expansive.
Yeah, I mean,
there are other topics I thought would be more expensive. But here's what I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
I am with the 400-plus artists, historians, and Judith Butler. I am with them about not destroying works of art that are part of history and that depict history and that show ugly truths about history. I'm on the fence. I'm seeing some convincing argument from your part about whether it should stay in that school in particular. But I'm not for this solution about destroying it.
You do know there are other piece works of art that were produced through the WPA and other periods that are in that school. Like, there's a bunch of artwork, and they're not trying to get rid of
it. Yeah, one of the arguments is they're going to start coming after those.
No, I mean, they've been very explicit. Like, no, they've already talked. There's art in the library. There's this other piece, Athletics, done. It's a relief done by an African-American during the time of Athletics and things like that. There's other artwork. So, like, that's fine. We just don't want to see our own people lying dead on the ground, people walking over them when we go into the lobby.
Yeah. So I will clarify, just because people will start attacking me, right? I'm not Ben Carson here.
And I do make that. I shouldn't make this joke because I don't think like the argument within the left has not been that greatest. Where people who are arguing for getting rid of the painting are saying, "Oh, you are all white supremacists. You're all and if you're a person of color, you've got a colonized mindset." I don't think that's helpful here.
Yeah.
I think this can be argued on its merits in the same way that the people on your side, not your, have often said these people need art history classes. They tend to be dismissive and speak of the people who are calling for bringing this down as ignorant. And that is not true. So I think there is something that has to be worked out here. I tend to find that on this side over here where you're, not that you, but the people who argue argue from an arrogant standpoint.
I'm not arrogant. I know what you mean.
But you are, you know what I mean, right? You know what I mean, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm not saying you are, but
no.
And then people on this side tend to be like, you know, you're the enemy. Then I do not believe that the left is arguing that is the enemy.
Yeah.
But we will have. I believe the people who are saying taken down are right. And I don't believe the people on the other side of the enemy. The people who are calling you snowflakes and being like that, they are, I kind of think they are the enemy. They're like, they're dismissing the whole thing. They want to keep George Washington up there. And, you know, but it's a more complicated thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, well, and I'm, I think that the voice that I'm trying to amplify in this conversation is just simply to state that I think there is a lack of education around art and art history as well. Andy, and you know this because you work in a school, and so much emphasis is on passing standardized testing that there isn't an education about the arts as well. So, I mean, that is just a valid point as well. And we should have ethnic studies as well. Ethnic studies, art studies, there should be really an enrichment of that sort of study as well, not just on trying to meet the grade and trying to pass tests. And that's why we don't know or we're not literate on art, I think that I'm trying to say here. And I feel as if the people who criticize this tend to see things sort of in generic black and white things. And I'm not saying that those depictions are insulting. That is sometimes what art can muster. It gives that. And I'm just trying to hear, just to be clear, because before I get attacked and this is permanent forever on the internet world, I'm not advocating that things are make people feel disempowered or make them feel unworthy or their voices not heard. I'm simply saying two things. Mm-hmm. One, it should not be destroyed. It should not be destroyed. I'm still sticking by that. And it seems like you're even standing by.
That's up to the capitalists to decide if they want to keep that.
Well, I'm mentioning my position.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be destroyed, period. I do not think it should be destroyed. The other thing is that you mentioned, I'm trying to say, is that if people in a democratic process with the students, there are 2,000 students at George Washington High School, and they decide to make a vote, and they decide to take it, then I think I would be overpowered and overwhelmed by that opinion as a school community. Then I would feel less inclined to defend it staying there. I would definitely go along with the majority if that's what they voted for.
The reason that...
Can I finish?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So I think that that is how I see things. So I want to be extra clear for the people out there before they start misinterpreting, because people like Andy normally start doing these, it seems like you are... No, it doesn't seem like anything. It's what I just said. That's what it seems like. It's true, Andy. It seems like you... No, no. Keep your reservations of your thoughts over there and not project them over here. I will tell you myself how I think about things. So, this has happened many times. I hate interpretations and assumptions.
All right, I'll try to...
So, I will tell you myself. So, I'm telling you all out there who are going to make assumptions about me as well. I've just stated very clearly, and sort of I'm being repetitive here, that I think that if the majority votes for it, fine. I am more inclined to hear what they, as 2,000 students, vote for, or some process, have an idea of what they want to do with it because it is their school. Fine, I am with that. I am with that. But I think sometimes that there are people who hijack these conversations and overwhelm the majority and don't have input of how things should be run and ignore the majority and really are speaking from a minority standpoint. I sometimes think that that happens. So we should get everyone involved, not just a simple minority.
Well, the fact is 13% of the population in San Francisco...
Is that every person of color feels offended?
I understand.
That's what I'm trying to say.
So I'm just saying, 13% of the population in San Francisco is African American. And at Washington High School, I don't think it's 13%. We roughly reach about 13%, 14% admission. At Washington High School, it might be 5%. Our Native American population
is dwindling.
Well, in Mission, I think is 1%. Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to probably be what it will be at George Washington. So it's a minority. Here's what I would say.
Is what my position clear for you?
It is clear, but I'm not content with it.
That's all right. But as long as it's clear,
it's clear. You're basically,
you can be disagreeing,
right,
but I want to be clear.
The reason that I don't just go to, oh, well, the majority can vote, because there's a minority here, a minority of people who represent a minority that's been extinguished in California. 95% of the Native American population was removed from California itself, okay? Partially by disease, but also by violence, direct violence. So they've already been shrunk down to a minority when they were the majority all over the place.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And we're talking about African Americans who are a minority in San Francisco and who are even a smaller minority. I'm not sure I can just say, oh, well, if you're white, Asian, Latino, African American, Native American, Arabic, Filipino group of population agree to keep it, then we keep it.
This is a person who says he does not believe in white privilege, and you all want to attack.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't. No, I don't believe in white privilege.
I'm just saying that for the people who are criticize you.
This is where, and I do believe that identity politics animates this, and I have a critique of. I do believe there's a problem within this, you know. Mm-hmm. But I will just tell you that I'm of the mind that in this case, as it relates to a minority, if I had 20 people come who lived in my house, and two of them were. Who were feeling like this artwork that was up, if I want them included in my community, in my house, then I got to listen to them.
Right, yeah.
So I'm sorry. And if we can say, no, well, 18 people don't care about it. 18 people are fine with it. You two have to live with it. That, to me, is not a community. And I live by the idea of an injury to one is an injury to all. All right? And that's a very important socialist notion. And there are people being injured as they come into the building have to put up with the assist. And that's not Victor's intent, but that's what happened. And they know that. And I can say to you, well, you people have to take art history classes. that doesn't change the fact that they might feel like this is suffering, like they've suffered. Now I understand it. They might have more layers to understanding this. That doesn't necessarily change that experience. I don't think that they have to go through some like art history program in order to be like, oh, well, all the people who don't like this art history. I would say, capitalist, if you want this piece of art to be preserved, then pay up, pay millions of dollars, whatever. You come up with millions all the time for these crazy Picassos that are trash. All right? That's what it looks like to me. It's just gross. I don't even know what that stuff is. All right? So if you can't come up with millions of dollars to keep this and have this thing hanging on your building at Washington University, my former alma mater in college or whatever, there's all sorts of people who love George Washington who would keep this thing. If you can't come up with the money, then something's going to happen to this thing. And we would actually prefer to have our wall in our high school. It's not a museum. It's a high school. In our high school, to be something that's comfortable for all the people who are here. And a minority voice has spoken quite clearly that this is sucks to go through every
and
day.
And you're not content with my position that it should not be destroyed.
Well, they don't want it to be destroyed, but that's up to the capitalists.
It's one of the solutions that they have the board.
Yeah, but that's up to the capitalists. They're not. They're the ones basically saying you want to keep it, pay the money.
The community wants to destroy it. You're up for it.
The community doesn't say they want to destroy it. The community wants it removed. Okay. Now, if the capitalists don't want to pay the money because they got tons of money, then the capitalists are letting it be destroyed. As far as I'm concerned, it's not George Washington high school students who are making that happen. What the problem I have with that is when here's what they say: we want it removed. Oh, sorry, we don't have the money, and then they got to live with it. Well, I'm sorry, I'm going to paint that over. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now: if they put it to a vote and your vote loses, and if they refuse to use it, I'm going to encourage people to paint over that thing themselves. And I guarantee you, there's people who in this community can know how to do that kind of stuff. That's what they should do, frankly.
You were saying go Banksy, Banksy.
No, we got cut off before I could say, yeah. But let's move on. So, because I think that, you know.
Are going to use it against you yeah. as a teacher at SMU.
The last comment I made was go Banksy on it. So, yeah. But
no.
Take it from there, Eduardo.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I think we've been, we've covered the main points. And, excuse me, I was telling you during the break, during the importation of this, that people who are going to criticize me are the same people that are going to who love Judith Butler, and I'm using her as a shield and the forehead. And I know there's other prominent names, I forgot them at the moment.
But you I'm want to admit that on video?
Yeah.
Okay.
They
good
need
for you.
To.
Good
they
for
need
you.
To also.
I appreciate your honesty.
Because they. I'm thinking right now of certain colleagues of mine that are going to attack me. If they
do not let
this.
Judith Butler save him from criticism. Come after him, nevertheless.
So I know that their love affair is for Judith Butler. Mm-hmm. So if they love Judith Butler, but Judith Butler also says to not destroy it, then I'm using her as a shield. The point, I think we've covered the points. Yeah. So,
and you... Okay, yeah, we
ask
have,
me.
We have.
Ask me anything.
I hope that this allows people to see, like, we have two different points of view on this, mm-hmm. and people can decide for themselves where they stand on it.
Yeah.
You know, and I am surprised by where I've landed on this, to be honest.
Right. I was telling Andy that he switched on me.
Yeah, because I do believe that the people who have been fighting this fight, I do believe a lot of it is, they come from not necessarily a socialist standpoint,
yeah.
but an identity politics standpoint, okay, that I have a critique of.
Yes.
And I do believe one of the weaknesses, and again, the people who are fighting the struggle, they can decide for themselves, but this is what I hear in it, is a notion almost like, you know what, things are better now. Things were worse way back when. And one of my problems with this idea of just, oh, we'll remove this, or we'll put that there, and taking on racism strictly through the lens of art and things mm-hmm. like that, I think it has this tendency to make it seem like we're just doing a cleanup act here, like mm-hmm. we're just mm-hmm. kind of mopping up after in a post-racist, post-imperialist society, and I think it does have the effect if the capitalists give in on this and they go, okay, well, we'll remove it, da 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 da, it does let the capitalists say, well, we don't have slavery anymore, the Native Americans are largely almost, you know, we already handled them and took all the territory, but you know, now we're all good. This does get us back to this question of what's that called? Reparations. Reparations, yeah. Which is another episode we're going to have. So I'm not doing a very good job explaining this. I do think there's a risk in this for the side that I'm arguing of allowing our opponents, the capitalists, to basically act like, okay, we'll give in to your little thing here. We all agree that, racism is more a thing of the past. Colonization is more of a thing of the past because, you know, we're helping you out. We're agreeing to your demands here on this thing. And I don't think we should let them get off this cheap. So that's one concern I have about this struggle. But what animates my support of those students is it's almost like the right of self-determination, that people, particularly in their school, in their homes, they should get to decide the environments that they want to live in. And I think this minority voice, based on an experience of minorities in this country, it's very important to me. And I think it should be very important to anyone who wants to change the world. And they should listen to those folks and be like, we're with you. I might not have the same experience, but we're with you in doing this because an injury to one is an injury to all. So we'll take this thing down. But let's be clear, we will not settle this score unless the whole system goes down. Mm-hmm. And if people aren't clear about that, then this struggle will have not really realized its demands. We need to eradicate racism. You cannot eradicate it by eradicating its history or eradicating seeing it. I know that people who are experiencing it know that, but the capitalists are going to use this to basically say, we gave in to your demands. We are more enlightened. We're not like these other countries, these backwards countries, and they're going to use that kind of stuff to blow those other countries up and destroy their art. Mm-hmm. And no one's talking about what the artists destroyed, you know, in Middle East and in Iraq as a result of the, you know, all that art is just blown to bits, you know. So,
it's unfortunate.
I don't feel like I've expressed this very well, but there is a concern I have about seeing the struggle, about the fight of racism only through this lens of art and experience. Because obviously, you know, we have immigrants being threatened with deportation this week, you know, so this isn't going away. And Michelle Alexander's new Jim Crow, we have not advanced very far at all. In fact, there's a lot of ways we've gone very backwards on the racism that blacks are experiencing in this country. When you see how many are in prison and when the conditions that they live in that prison, they're like slave-like conditions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this history lives today and it must be fought today. And I do believe that listening to the voices of the students who don't want to have to experience this when they're going in, as it relates to seeing artwork, that makes sense to me. But let's not confuse this for a country that is doing anything other than spreading more racism, spreading more colonization, and an imperialist power which is decimating the globe. And that's the country we live in right now. So we're going to have to go much farther than moving artwork.
Mm-hmm. I want to point out two things that I came to mind as I was listening to you. Is one, I think it's very unfortunate that some colleagues of yours think that you, when you said that you don't hold the white privileged ideology, that if they see a video like this I'd hate doing this, but if they see a person of color and a white person on some semi-different points of view here for something that you would think would be the reversal, I think that people would see you differently. But I think that there is something around not understanding your positions in a way that is black and white in this blanket of liberal ideas in San Francisco, in the Bay Area, and just in general liberal ideas, where people think that if you're not a believer of white privilege, then you're not an ally, and then you're immediately tagged as someone that is possibly a threat to them because you are a white cisgender straight, all the hierarchies of this privilege system, that you would be considered a threat to the minorities too, and you're tagged as someone that would be seen potentially on the opposite side of saving you would see as saving this mural.
Right.
But people, because people have an idea and perception of you, I'm just pointing this out because it came to mind how they would already think that you would not actually be in favor of keeping this, removing this piece.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, I'm a little, this has been another one of those episodes where as I read more into it, as I read more about this, my mind has been changed internally about this. Honestly, the woman who reached out, who let me know about this, my first response was more neutral, you know, was more like, well, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not sure I can support your cause. Mm. She was reaching out to me. I think she had heard me speak on a Board of Ed thing or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think she was reaching out to see if I was an ally. And when she heard what I had to say, which was not like, oh, yeah, I'll jump in your struggle, I think she was like, well, that's as much as I want to listen to this guy. And when we talked about it last week, I was really convinced, or I was really leaning towards you as you said, hey, what about Diego Rivera and stuff like that? I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we talked about maybe trying to invite this woman onto the episode as a debate. Yeah. Yeah. And I reached out to her to say there's a person who's, you know, for keeping the art there. I'm sort of in between. Would you be willing to represent? She never got back to me. She was like, I don't know. Maybe she never saw it or whatever. So I appreciate what you're saying. But in all honesty, this is just one of those things where this is where I am right now on this issue. That's what I would say, you know. And
but what I am trying to highlight here is that it's unfortunate that in these, well, it's always been, I feel, divisive times.
Yeah.
That because you are not a stand for the privileged ideology, the political privileged ideology, then you're not seen as an ally.
Right.
When here, ironically, you're more of an ally, I think, than I am.
Ostensibly than you, right?
Yeah,
And I do think I wish there was a better way of debating between these two sides. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have, although there was, I'm going to post this, there was a YouTube debate that they actually did have. I don't know if either sides really heard each other, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But at least the debate was had. I guess I'll say that. And sometimes on the left, you don't even have the debate.
Yeah. So that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And the second thing I wanted to point out is to be extra clear.
Yeah.
About not confusing that my idea about having students be in a democratic process to vote is ignoring the minority that does exist. I know I said that it's not that the majority should speak out for these things and that a minority is representing. I really do think, and I was talking about this in a previous video about education, that kids and especially adolescents should be involved in democratic processes. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned one of the books, which was Summer Hill, and I had two books here at the time. Maybe we should link it, Andy, here. But I was just talking about how that's what I was trying to refer to, that that adolescents should, you know, they're not even involved in the political spectrum because you're not allowed to vote at a certain age. But I think that there should be a school-led democratic process. Yeah. And that is what I meant, that they should all be involved in this.
Correct.
And not just a single group of people. Because I don't normally, and I've said this, normally I think, I have a strong feeling that I've criticized many movements. I have a feeling that intellectuals take over the discourse. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was trying to say. So I don't want people to start mischaracterizing me and start making all kinds of assumptions about me. Let me tell you what I think about this.
Yeah.
And I've told you this. And that's what I meant by minority.
Yeah.
That I feel sometimes intellectuals, academics, and people who have the educated class tend to dominate the discourse of movements, and they're leading the movements, which ultimately fracasa. How do you say fracasa? Fracasa is to ultimately crashes down, fails. It doesn't continue, and because it's led and hijacked by intellectuals. And I've already told you this before, and I've seen this before. So that's what I meant earlier when I was saying that people who take this, who are leading this, tend to be that sort of class, the educated class. And I think everyone should be a part of the process. I wasn't trying to imply or insinuate that the minority, normally, as our African American population is dwindling in this city of San Francisco because of the high rise cost of living in the city, I wasn't trying to ignore them or trying to diminish or shut out their voice by a majority of other non-African-American majority. Right. I wasn't trying to imply that. All I was just trying to say was that kids, adolescents, should be involved, and they should have their voices heard, and they should say what should happen in their school and not adults dictating for students and speaking for adolescents the way that we have trained our adolescents to be. Shush, let the adults talk. We'll take over the conversation for you. Mm-hmm. No, they should be involved in the democratic process, speaking out for themselves, writing letters. If they want some, not just writing letters like your congressperson. No, like direct, like you're obviously...
expressing themselves.
Yes. They should create hubs of discourse for debate on this. And they should come as prepared. That's what I think an educator should do,
correct,
is to have them critically analyze.
Yeah.
And that is what I'm advocating for.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, this whole thing about shutting out minorities such as the dwindling population of African Americans,
right,
and Latino populations. No,
right.
I was talking about, just to be extra clear, because I know people are going to take all things and take out of context,
yeah,
that they should, right, be, what should an educator do?
Right.
They should facilitate conversations and debate and analyzing and critical thinking about certain deep issues, especially when it affects their community directly.
Right. And I agree with you, and I've been the person all the time who've been talking about socialism and we've got to vote, da 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 da. And you'll notice when you brought up a very concrete way of trying to bring the voice directly from the community itself, the Washington High School community.
Yes.
I did not propose a solution. All I did say was, this doesn't quite get at. I just poked holes in your thing without saying how to, because I don't yet know how to solve that.
Right.
I do believe, so there's something that more democratic that needs to be done, but I don't yet have a solution for how to resolve the fact that what we're talking about, by definition, is a minority voice.
Yeah.
If people were trying to disparage you for trying to say, you're trying to knock out those voices, I disagree with them. I was merely pointing out that I agree with you about democracy, but for this issue, for this kind of issue, there are problems. You know, there are some problems. And so unless we can figure out a way of really amplifying those minority voices and not making sure that they stay down, there's something that has to be figured out.
Yeah.
That doesn't just get answered by a majority vote.
I understand that.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And just to tell you, I don't want this to be a part of the video. Just to tell you, I almost, for a second, when you were talking and I had given my response about the majority and everything and you had spoken, I almost had in the back of my head, I want to edit out what I had said.
Mm.
But in order for me not to edit out, I had said, all right, well, before I leave, before we're done with this video, I'm going to say this thing so that I don't have to feel later on that I have to edit something out so I can explain myself here and now, which I have not done in the past, MD, before,
I know,
where I sort of feel like, oh, I won't say anything after this. And then I go home and then I want to edit heavily. And then you're thinking, why? No, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, because I didn't have a conclusive, or I didn't close with what I wanted to say. And so that's why I edit heavily.
Yes.
So if I'm just grateful, right, that we're allowing the space for me to say what I need to say, then I feel then we can leave what I had previously said. Does that make sense?
It does. And
all right.
And this entire conversation might be edited, but I think it will be edited. But the reason I said what I said after you said that, was to let people know, it's like,
yes,
I agree with this guy. We should have a vote. All I said was, I poked holes in it.
Yeah, I understand
to basically,
that.
But I did not propose a solution, you know? And I didn't, because if I came up with a solution, you might be like, oh yeah, vote. Maybe you would go with that. But I didn't, all I did was poke holes in your effort to try to bring people together, you know? So, because I think that's, the problem with the left is, because there's problems with what you say, people are going to accuse you, oh, you're ignoring these people, this. That's wrong. That's not your intent. Your intent is to include everyone, but it doesn't get the job done.
Yes.
Okay, so let's hear what the problem is. Oh, I hear, and you would recognize that's a problem. So tell me what your solution, you would totally be open to hearing that, but we don't know what that solution is. I can't figure out what it is right now myself.
Right.
So that's their problem in some ways. That's the left's problem, that any weakness in what you have to say is seen as you having that colonizer mindset, having right. And that's a bunch of.
But I think that's horseshit. But I have to, and this can be kept. Partly of this can be kept. I'm going to say this. That's why I feel like I'm constantly playing chess here, where I have to look for all these corners and all these moves because I know how the left tint, or even the right, both. I think both do it.
Both like
to take bits and pieces and rip you apart.
Correct.
And try to take you out of context.
Right.
And even smudge your reputation and try to. So I have
social media right there, baby.
Yeah.
But so, it is a problem on the left.
So I welcome your any poking holes, any sort of criticism. All I have to do for myself is I constantly have to be able to block out any, protect my move.
Yeah.
Yeah, you understand?
Yeah. Yep.
Because people will then take...
Go after him. Troll. Trolls, go after
him. Cut, edit, and then post it on a very viral 30-second, not that I'm someone important, but, you know, put it on a 30-second Instagram post and then destroy you. No?
Yeah. Yes. Or try to, right? I agree.
So I will, then I can quickly add, on the comment section of that, possibly destroying me, I'll check out the entire video before you start. Yeah.
Agreed.
Anyhow, so, oh my gosh, so much talking to defend oneself in the social media time.
Yeah.
Anyhow, this was a very lively discussion again, and I appreciate that you actually had brought it up. I mean, we were discussing points, I agreed with it because I had heard it on KPFA.
Yeah.
And I read it sometime, I think, in the Examiner, but, you know, the free Examiner here in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So thank you for that, Andy.
I'm glad it might be another segue
to reparations.
Yeah, I think that's another area to discuss because the Board of Education certainly cited reparations as part of the reasons they're doing this. They saw it as a reparations-like act.
Yes.
I actually can see some elements of that. I agree with reparations, but I think there's some weaknesses in reparations that I think are worth discussing.
And I think quickly I'll just insert that reparations doesn't always mean money. It can be. But I think people always go right to money.
Right.
So I just want to insert that. Well, we can discuss it further. Well, did you have a very good week?
I did. And
we didn't have an episode last week.
Yeah, you should apologize for...
You should apologize. Why should I apologize?
This guy loves celebrating July 4th. He thinks that Independence Day is the most important holiday of the year.
Right.
So he was like, Andy, how am I going to have this episode when I'm sitting here trying to be patriotic? No. I had with my family in Columbia, Missouri, we had a bad internet connection, and I was just not in the mindset to... be all like negative. Eduardo was ready to go.
He was totally ready
to go. And we were going to have an episode about July 4th, which frankly I would have really liked to do, but I was not up for it. So,
but I think it goes back to just one of our, principles around this, doing this project together is that we want to not be obligated to do something when times are just inconvenient or just we're not up for it. I think that we've given us that freedom.
Yeah.
But we are committed.
But he was ready. He was ready and he was doing stuff, but he was ready to do the episode. Yeah. I had to cancel in the like 2 hours.
I brushed up on U.S. independence, American history.
Yeah, I had a good quote from the Declaration of Independence that I wanted to use as well. So
I'm glad you're relaxed in everything. Thank you. And then what we will discuss next week, we'll discuss.
Could be reparations. Could be I have a fellow socialist who I organize with that we might do an interview with him.
Yes. Let's do
but that. Something might come up as well. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. So everyone, if you are listening, please subscribe, rate, review, and best of all, share with your family and friends and community. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes Podcast, Google Play, BitChute, and YouTube. So do any of those if you'd like to see us. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
All right, take care.
Ciao.